The Melba Story. The story of Australia's most famous woman. The true story, fully authenticated, and featuring another wonderful Australian singer, Glenda Raymond. The Melba Story. We've reached the point in Melba's career when, as a young wife and mother, Helen Armstrong, she has to make a fateful decision. Having failed to impress the musical leaders of London, she's all ready to return to Australia with her husband, Charles, and her father, David Mitchell. Then, suddenly, she rebels.
I've changed my mind, Father. I'm not going home. I'm going to Paris instead.
Paris?
You're not serious, Nellie.
But I am, Charles. I've just realized that these people, these men I've seen here in England, aren't interested in finding a new voice. Oh, I shouldn't have wasted my time. I should have gone to Paris in the first place.
It's a pity you didn't find that out a bit earlier.
Yes, Father, I know I've been foolish. Marchese is the only one whose opinion really counts. She's supposed to be an infallible judge and absolutely honest.
Who told you that?
Madame Wiedemann Pinchoff, back in Melbourne. It was she who gave me this letter of introduction.
And you thought so much of her letter that you'd forgotten all about it.
Will you give me this one last chance, Father?
No.
I realize that you've every right to refuse what I ask, but I am asking it just the same. I want to go to Marchese. I want to sing for her. And if she doesn't like me, I promise faithfully that I'll return to Australia immediately and try to be happy.
What does your husband to say about this?
I'll let you have your say first, sir. Then I'll talk to Nellie alone.
You're a strange lass, Nellie. But I wouldn't have you think I've no understanding in me.
You let me go?
If Charles is willing, well, I'll foot the bill for this crazy escapade. Oh. But if he says no, then I'll not give you another penny.
All right, Father. That's good enough for me. And thank you for everything. Even if this doesn't come off.
Talk it over with your husband.
Well, Charles?
I've some news for you, my dear. I'm not going back to Australia just yet, either.
What do you mean?
I'm going to rejoin my regiment.
Why?
We may be needed in the Sudan. You know General Gordon was killed last year, and they're organizing an expeditionary force. I suppose I might as well be in it.
Oh, no, Charles. We'll forget all about Paris, and all about this army idea, too. We'll go home with Father.
You'd give up this idea of yours? For my sake, Nellie?
Yes. If you'll give up your idea.
No. No, it wouldn't work.
Why?
Because neither of us could be happy. Better leave things as they are.
But if you were sent to Africa...
It's a long shot. It may never come off. All that's in sight at the moment is a training course in Ireland. And I could easily run over to Paris occasionally and see how you're getting on. That's if you decide to stay there, of course.
Oh, Charles, how wonderful if you could be there with me all the time.
Well, you never know. But how about young Georgie? Will you be able to look after him?
I'll find a way. He won't be neglected.
You are Australian, madame?
Yes, I come from Melbourne.
But you are white. And the little boy, he also is white. I understood that all Australians were black.
The original Australians are, Madame Blanchard. But my family comes from Scotland.
Then why do you live in so uncivilized a place?
Oh, it isn't nearly as uncivilized as you think. We have all the best plays performed there, and concerts almost every night. I sang with orchestra in Melbourne just before I left.
So, you are a singer, madame?
Yes, and I'm in Paris to see a famous teacher, Madame Marchese. Do you know her?
Marchese? She is the teacher of Etelka Gerste. What she says is accepted without question in Paris.
Then I hope she likes my voice.
When do you have to see her, madame?
At 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. But I must first find someone who will look after my son.
Would you trust him to me, madame?
Oh, you take care of him for me?
It will be a pleasure. And I wish you well with the great Marchese.
You come from Australia, you say?
Yes, Madame Marchese.
Australia.
I'm very proud of being an Australian.
Why?
Because one day it's going to be the greatest country in the world.
The girl's mad.
No, madame. I could tell you things about Australia that would surprise you.
No doubt. But my time is valuable. You think you can sing, do you?
Yes, I do.
Well, I'll hear you. What have you brought?
All these.
Oh. Will you sing in French?
Oh, yes. I have several French songs here. This one, for instance, Gounod's Serenade.
Very well. We shall see what you do with it. Stand over there.
Here?
You stand well. You have presence. But have you a voice? We shall soon know. Now, sing.
Something else?
No.
You mean I'm no good?
Sing this. This. Now this. Now, this. He Enough. Wait here. Salvatore!
Yes, my love?
Come here, quickly.
What is it, my dear?
Do not ask questions. Come at once.
I come.
Honey! Honey!
Madame Marchese?
Yes?
Is there something wrong?
Something wrong?
I just wonder.
Where are you, Mathilde?
In the music room.
Oh, of course, of course. Now, my dear, what is it? What has happened?
Salvatore, I have found a star.
You really mean it, Mathilde?
Have you ever known me to joke about such a thing? I tell you, Salvatore, I have made a wonderful discovery. Look, there she stands.
Madame Marchese, you mean me?
You wish to be a great singer?
Oh, yes, yes.
And you are willing to work hard?
Of course.
Very well. If you are serious and study with me for 1 year, I will make you the greatest singer in the world.
In just a moment, we return to the Melba story. The Melba story.
Madame Marchese, you really believe I could be a great singer?
The greatest. It depends on yourself.
I will work. I promise I will.
Mathilde, may I not be introduced?
Of course, Salvatore. I present my husband, the Marchesa della Rajata of Palermo.
I am so happy.
How do you do?
But Mathilde, you do not mention the young lady's name.
Because I do not know it.
But, madame,
oh, I... Yes, yes, I know you brought a letter of introduction. But I get dozens, hundreds of such letters. You had better start from the beginning. Your full name?
Helen Porter Armstrong.
Armstrong? I thought there was some mention of another name.
Mitchell. Oh, that was my maiden name.
You are married?
Yes, madame. And I have a small son. He's here in Paris with me.
This makes a difference.
In what way?
I do not teach married people.
Why?
Family ties are a nuisance. They tend to hamper one's career. At the beginning, one simply has to choose for oneself. Family happiness or a life of lonely triumph. For a great artist is forever alone. Make no mistake about that.
But Mathilde, we married?
That was different, Salvatore. We were both singers, both musicians, both teachers. We had the same interests, the same ideas. Tell me, Mrs. Armstrong, is your husband as interested in music as you are?
No.
There, you see. Already I foresee trouble.
Oh, no, madame. Charles was quite willing to let me come to Paris.
And where is he now?
With his regiment in Ireland.
A soldier? Oh, that should be all right, Mathilde. A soldier is always on the move. He would not interfere with your plans.
Well, perhaps in this case I make an exception. But you must work, 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 my dear. You must work as if your very life depended on it. No, no.
What did I do wrong, madame?
Everything. You forget my instructions. You sing your own way. You must sing Marchese's way.
I'm sorry. I'll try again.
Come, then. Better, much better. Continue.
When will Mathilde be free, Salvatore?
Very soon, Maurice. She's busy with a pupil at the prison. Sika?
No, no, have one of mine.
Thank you. So, business is bad in the concert world, Maurice.
What can you expect? There are no more parties.
Party. What an artist.
I say this to you, my dear Marquis. Not because Adelina Patti is my sister-in-law. Not because I was the first to recognize her as a great artist. But because it is an undeniable fact There are no more great singers.
Patty is not born every day, Maurice. And there is not always an impresario in hand when this...
Be quiet, sir.
What? Listen. Who is that? Who is it?
What are you talking about, Maurice?
I want that voice. I don't know whether its owner is short or tall, pretty or plain, and I don't care. I must have that voice. Nobody but myself must possess it. Who is she, Salvatore?
Only a young Australian. My wife thinks she may have a career.
May I go in there?
Yes, of course. Come, I'll take you in.
Young, too. And good to look at. This is beyond all my expectations.
Nelly, stop singing. How did you get in here, Maurice?
I was drawn like a moth to the flame, Mathilde. I must have that voice. Name your own terms.
No, she is not ready.
Introduce me.
Nelly, I present Mr. Maurice Strakosch, the famous impresario.
I kiss your hand, my dear. This is a great moment in my life.
I don't understand. What do you mean?
I mean that the impossible has come to pass. Patty has been born again.
You really think I could be another Patty?
I am so convinced of it that I'm going to offer you a 10-year contract.
Madame Marchese, when am I going to sing for Mr. Strakosch?
Perhaps next month, perhaps next year, perhaps never.
But the contract...
The contract only takes effect from the moment you make your first appearance.
But you said...
That Strakosch may never make the contract come to life. And that was the truth. But have no fear, Nelly. I have other plans for you. Next month, I intend to put on a student's concert. And many important people will be there.
Am I to sing?
You will be my star. Oh. And before the concert is over, I think you will have a real contract. Now, you are about to make the most important appearance of your life. Out there in the audience are the directors of some of Europe's best-known opera houses. If you sing well, your name is made. Are you nervous?
Not very.
Good girl.
Mrs. Armstrong, you're on next.
Oh, all right, I'm coming.
Sing well. Sing your very best.
Don't worry, madame. Everything will be all right, I'm sure.
Go on, they're waiting for you. Hurry, hurry.
This way, please.
Thank you.
did I tell you, Nelly? Your success is assured. You are engaged for the next season at Brussels.
I'm to sing in opera.
The directors of the Théâtre La Monnaie were entranced. They insisted on your being included in the new company. You are to be their principal coloratura.
When?
In a month's time.
I can't believe it.
It's the truth. But don't think any more about it tonight. Go home and get some sleep. Don't sing for a week. Stay at home and rest. And no visitors, you understand? No visitors of any kind.
Maurice Dracos.
Oh. One moment, please. How nice of you to come and see me, Mr. Strakosch. Please come in. I hope you're well.
I'm damn near dead after climbing 5 flights of stairs. Why don't you live in a decent locality?
I have to live according to my means. What can I do for you, Mr. Strakosch?
You can confirm or deny an amazing rumor which circulates in Paris. A rumor that you have signed a contract with the Monnaie in Brussels. Of course, I know it can't possibly be true.
But it is true.
What?
Yesterday.
Have you forgotten that you are already under contract to me?
But I thought... I understood...
You thought. You understood. You're nothing but a fool. I could have made you great. Great as Patty. But now you are ruined forever.
But Mr. Strakosch...
I shall go to law. I shall prevent you from singing a Brussels if it's the last thing I ever do.
Melba, quite innocent of any wrongdoing in having signed a contract to sing at the Monnaie, now finds herself the victim of an intended lawsuit. We'll learn the sequel in the next chapter of The Melba Story. The Melba Story was written by John Ormiston Reed and produced by Dorothy Crawford. The Australian Symphony Orchestra was conducted by Hector Crawford. The role of Melba was spoken by Patricia Kennedy and sung by the Australian coloratura soprano, Glenda Raymond.